This week on Straight Talk Africa, Namibians are voting Wednesday for a new president and parliament. The former Liberation Party, the Southwest Africa People's Organization, SWAPO, has been in power for 34 years, but has long been losing support. High unemployment, poverty, and corruption had young Namibians yearning for change. What will change look like for Namibians this time? Straight Talk Africa starts right now. Welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from our headquarters here in Washington. I'm your host, Peter Clotty. Namibians are casting their vote Wednesday. If the governing party wins, Namibia will have its first female head of state. Vice President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah heads the Southwest Africa People's Organization, or SWAPO, the Liberation Party that has governed the country for 34 years. SWAPO is facing many challenges. Primarily, its base is eroding. Unemployment in Namibia is estimated around 46% among 15 to 34-year-olds, according to 2018 figures, and a lot of people are talking about the need for change. Panduleni Itula of the Independent Patriots for Change Party, or IPC, is the main opposition contender. For more about what's happening now on the ground, let's go to Christine Esperanza Auchamus. She is the General Secretary of Independent Patriots for Change. She joins us from Vintog. Hello, Christine. So, Christine, is the IPC the party that will bring the change Namibians or the youth are looking for?
I believe so. We have really been working very hard over the last 4 years since we performed as a political party to ensure that we reach the masses. We have been in every village, in every household, to vote, try and see whether people support. We believe we've done enough to be able to get the win this evening.
What makes the IPC different from, let's say, the PDM, the other opposition party, or perhaps even SWAPO?
The IPC is different in the sense that it is a party that appeals to all members, all citizens of Namibia, irrespective of status, irrespective of race or tribe. We are a political party that advocates for unity. We need to unify our nation and to ensure that we move forward in the right direction. Many of the other political parties that we have in the country have got strong bases in a particular region, or they are more appealing to a specific tribe. In the IPC, we've got representation right across all 14 regions of the country, including 121 constituencies. Of Namibia. We are the only other party, other than SWAPO, that has got that kind of reach and that kind of support across the country. Our demographics of those who are members of the party is also very diverse, very representative of what Namibia is made up of. And that is why we believe we've got what it takes to be able to topple the current administration.
Now, talking about policies, some of your critics are saying that you pretty much a carbon copy of SWAPO, and that your policies are so similar, and that you are all disgruntled members of SWAPO who have gone ahead to form your own party. What say you?
First of all, I believe the ones who are sharing those sentiments have not studied our manifesto to see what it is that we intend to do. The reason why we formed a political party is because the SWAPO government has failed to address the needs of Namibians. If we were all content with the administration, we would not be here seeking to get the mandate from the public to administer the state. Secondly, I have never been a member of a political party prior to the IPC, and thus the second statement you've made of disgruntled SWAPO members is not true. We have a membership base of about 70% of first-time participants in political activity by virtue of membership in the IPC. And surely these are young people who are yearning for change, young people who are looking for opportunities. We have just had the National Statistics Agency release statistics, and deliberately or intentionally, they withdrew the statistics on unemployment. That just shows you how fearful the current state administration is in disclosing the figures of how dire the situation is in the country. So there's no truth to that. The IPC advocates for a government that is accountable. We have zero tolerance to corruption, which is something that we can't say is true for the current administration. We have also been very clear about deploying people based on merit and not CADA deployment based on their loyalties to the political parties that people ascribe. IPC contrast. We believe in an open market economy where the private sector has to get an opportunity to do and play its part in ensuring that it creates employment, that it is not the responsibility of the state. The responsibility of the state is to ensure that we have a conducive environment. We have also been very clear about how we are going to empower the youth to ensure that young people are participating in the economics of our country. So we are a complete opposite of the ruling party. We have nothing in common apart from being citizens of this beautiful country of ours, Namibia.
Thank you very much, Ms. Auchamos. We'll leave it here, Christine. We have to leave it here. Christine Esperanza Auchamos is the General Secretary of the Independent Patriots for Change, or IPC. Earlier in the month, I spoke with Nangolo Mbumba, the President of Namibia, who took office after the death of President Hage Geingob in February. He talked about the importance of these elections and the continuation of the legacy of the SWAPO party.
The most important thing is that with these elections, if or when Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah to assume or go through the elections, is elected, I hand over. I am not only handing over to her as Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, I'm handing over the authority to a representative of the SWAPO party, the party that liberated Namibia.
Do you have confidence in the Electoral Commission of Namibia to administer free, fair, transparent, and credible elections? Because some of the opposition have, you know, accused the SWAPO of using its dominance to, you know, to ensure an uneven playing field during the elections. What is your response to that, Mr. President?
First of all, the Electoral Commission is independent by law. It has capable people chosen for that purpose, and that purpose only. Anyone who doubt the ability or the legal position of the Electoral Commission of Namibia should not then participate in the elections. So there is nobody who is going to be favored. You have just to work hard. You have to campaign very hard. You have to crisscross the country and get whatever votes you get it from the people who support you or the people who support your party. The other thing is, people complain about this is favored. When we were fighting for independence, were we favored? When we were suffering in the countryside of Angola and Zambia and Tanzania, were we favored? When we lost some of the comrades we grow up with, our age mate, were we favored? So that is an excuse of people trying to find why they have lost the way they lose election. But that is, in Namibian history, we have gone through election. This is not the first election. All the candidates are there. They are much younger than me. So let the people decide.
That was Nangolo Mbumba, President of Namibia. It's time for a short break. When we return, we'll continue our discussion on the elections in Namibia. Stay with us.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington, every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
Thanks to medical advancements, AIDS is no longer one of the top 10 global causes of death, according to the World Health Organization. However, it continues to be one of the world's most serious health and development challenges. UNAIDS says close to 40 million people are living with HIV and more than half of them are in Eastern and Southern Africa. On this week's edition of Our Voices, we will take a deeper look into the status of HIV/AIDS and its spread in sub-Saharan Africa. We will discuss how societal inequalities contribute to HIV prevalence and whether Africa is on the right track to end AIDS by 2030. Join the conversation each week right here on Our Voices.
We are not saying we are going to do what? We are going to improve on what we have been doing already. So that's SWAPO for you, SWAPO for the people, and this is the only party which belongs to the people.
What is quite evident that we've seen under the SWAPO governance is a mixture of both, good and bad. And another thing is also, one thing that's also really hasn't been touched, where we see the youth being marginalized, is youth empowerment. SWAPO has done us good, but I feel like we've given them ample time, but we'll let the electorate speak for themselves and see who wins.
I'm just hoping for the change, actually, because everything in Namibia, I feel like they need to be changed, especially education. It needs to be changed. It needs to improve.
I want to brought some change upon this country. Yeah, simply for change. We need change.
I'm going to vote for a change.
Welcome back. You are with Straight Talk Africa. We just heard a few of residents in Windhoek, the capital of Namibia, talking about what's important to them in these elections. We are discussing the presidential and parliamentary elections in Namibia and whether the ruling and former Liberation Party SWAPO will manage to cling to power. For further insight into the political landscape of the country, we go to Raquel Andreas, a political analyst, and Graham Hopwood, Executive Director of the Institute for Public Policy Research. They both are joining us from the capital of the country, Windhoek. Hello and welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Hi there.
Hello, greetings.
All right, let me come to you, Raquel. Will Namibia have its first female president today?
The likelihood is high, I would say, because just looking at what has been transpiring today, we saw that quite a large number of people came out, almost unprecedented ever since the country gained independence in 1989. You know, when we've been engaging with people in the queues, a lot of them are saying this is giving them flashbacks of, you know, how it was like voting in 1989, because the voter turnout, at least from the queues alone, looks quite significant. And so in terms of how will that potentially translate in Tumulani Ndaitwah getting the majority 50 plus one that is required for her to win, it's likely, because SWAPO, the political party, still has a stronghold in terms of the number of voters that are likely to vote for it. But again, it's still early results. Voting is not concluded yet. We will know for sure when they are, you know, when they are done counting. But at least from previous elections, it looks like her win is likely.
So, Hopwood, let me ask you this. The analysts and some journalists that I have spoken with are saying for the first time, SWAPO could be tested in this election. Mark Henry Venani, the presidential candidate for the PDM, who is a leader of the minority in parliament, told me he's confident of winning. Dr. Itula, a lawyer and a medical practitioner, a dentist, also is brimming with confidence that he would defeat Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, the vice president of the country, the incumbent vice president. What say you?
Well, this will definitely be the closest election that we've had since 1989, the election that heralded independence in Namibia. As Raquel said, I think Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah remains the favorite. She faces a particularly strong challenge from Dr. Pandeleni Itula of the IPC. Some pundits think that it will be enough of a challenge to force a second round of voting, which has to take place within 60 days. I sort of also inclined to think that probably SWAPO and their candidate will manage to survive, but it might be tight. And we're seeing what looks like a very large turnout, although the queues are so long also because the process is so slow. So we've seen a lot of frustration today as well. We only have 5 hours left now for voting. But in those queues, you know, it all depends really how many young people turn out, because they are the change voters. They are the ones who might vote for the opposition and they aren't stuck with traditional party loyalties. So if they do turn out in numbers, particularly in urban areas, they could be the ones who force some kind of upset in this election. But I do think SWAPO remains the favorite at the moment. And we'll be intrigued to see the results when they start coming in. It might take a while. Maybe by Friday or Saturday, we'll have a clearer picture.
So, Raquel, the youth of the country are calling for change. But do you think their call is resounding enough to give SWAPO a run for its money in this election?
Peter, the conversation around youth calling for change is always one that has been a bit unclear, in my opinion, because we've also seen youth within SWAPO, you know, speaking about change, but change that will be, you know, put forward by SWAPO. So the assumption generally is that, you know, the young people want change, and so it means they are opposition. But that's actually not the reality on the ground. We have young people within the ruling party that are equally, you know, singing the song of change, and they are convinced that this change is going to come from within as opposed to from outside. And so at this juncture, we're looking at, you know, if we can reflect on what the political parties have said they will do. And then we're looking at, you know, the voting, the results as they will start streaming in, hopefully from tomorrow, to see, you know, this change that young people are talking about. Is it necessarily change of a completely new party, or is it change of putting pressure on SWAPO from within?
So, Hopwood, ahead of the elections, Dr. Venani, the leader of the parliament, raised concerns about the award of contract to Renform, the company, the Johannesburg company that printed the ballot papers, designed it, and all that. He thought there were some underhanded dealings. He called for an investigation and for the prosecution of those involved. He even said that if those issues are not resolved, it would even taint the credibility of the elections. What say you?
Well, the way that the printing of the ballot papers was handled by the Electoral Commission of Namibia certainly didn't inspire confidence in their capabilities, because it may not have been a conspiracy, but they left everything too late. They were forced into doing an emergency procurement and picking one company in South Africa, which it turned out, and if they'd Googled the name, they would have found out that there was a lot of controversy, particularly relating to the Zimbabwean elections of last year. So the way that was handled, and there were a few other things that have happened during the campaign, have basically undermined the public's confidence and also the party's confidence in the Electoral Commission. And the delays that we're seeing today are also suggesting that the ECN wasn't fully ready and perhaps hadn't trained their polling staff well enough and also hadn't overcome some technical glitches that are occurring with voter verification. So, yeah, the ECN is a little bit under pressure in this election, and they haven't got very long to turn it around if they want to save their reputation.
But do you think that it committed its own error, unforced error, if you may, because even the landless people of Namibia, the LPM, talked about the fact that some replacement cards for people to vote, they accused SWAPO of getting, you know, unfair advantage from the Electoral Commission of Namibia and all that. Let me come to you, Rekha, before we come back to you, Hopeful. What say you? Why is the Electoral Commission appear unprepared to administer these elections?
I think on their part, they underestimated, possibly underestimated how much time will be needed to just prepare, especially the polling officials. Most of them were only trained last week, you know, and now today they are, you know, serving the nation. So with regards to ECN's preparedness, I think it's obviously just poor planning. But at the same time, there were so many independent variables, outside of their control as well. I think we need to give credit where it's due. As with any management of electoral processes, there's just going to be some delays. Some of the delays that they faced, for example, is the procurement issue. They failed at the end of the day. They had to do the emergency procurement. But because when they looked at their electoral calendar, they realized that if they were to do the direct, the competitive procurement, it was going to mean that we would not have ballot papers for today. But it's unacceptable. I'm not trying to make excuses for them. We are holding them to a high standard. They need to account to us when they do their post-mortem, so that they tell us where exactly the glitches were at. But from our observations today, as we're going around, for example, it's very obvious that training polling officials a few days before election day is a recipe for disaster.
But Hopwood, a lot of journalists that I spoke with were concerned several weeks ago that the Electoral Commission appeared ill-prepared because they had at least 4 years to prepare for today's elections. And questions raised by them were either not answered properly, which they said led them to doubt how credible the election is going to be, or suspicions of opposition of underhand dealings.
Yeah, I mean, the default position, it tends to be one of denial or extreme defensiveness. You know, when they get questions, difficult questions from journalists or civil society. So that hasn't helped, because I don't think they've recognized some of the problems early enough. So, you know, I accept that the elections are a huge logistical exercise, and some things will not go smoothly in a country as large as Namibia, where you've got a population of 3 million spread over such a vast area. But it is difficult to organize elections. But, you know, they're supposed to have had the experience by now to be able to do these things better. And the same problems, or even worse, seem to reoccur at elections again and again. And today's queues seem to be, I mean, I've seen elections going back into the 1990s here, and these queues and the slowness of the process is the worst I've ever seen. So, you know, things aren't getting better. I mean, yes, there are more voters now, but, you know, they don't seem to be using the experience they've had to improve the process.
Rekha, let me come to you. Mrs. Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, the incumbent vice president of SWAPO, appear to be popular. People are saying we are going to vote for her to become the first female president, but not so much about SWAPO. So they think that SWAPO might even get less vote when it comes to the National Assembly elections. What is your sense of how things are going so far, even during the campaign period ahead of the elections?
You're correct in that. Because it seems that she's definitely more popular than the party, because the reality of the matter is that when we look at the socioeconomic issues that we're facing in the country, it was under the watch of SWAPO party for the past 34 years. However, what makes her unique is not just her gender. It's the fact that she's an experienced politician. She's held public office for, you know, since independence, basically. And also, you know, in 2019, we had a situation in SWAPO, you know, where the party was fragmented from within, where they had two strong factions. And she's managed, at least it looks like she's managed to unite the two factions. So the party is standing. She's viewed as a unifier for the party, as, especially for a lot of people who had felt from within SWAPO that, you know, SWAPO is no longer, you know, living up to what it represented as a liberation, former liberation movement. So she's popular in that respect. And also she's a strong champion for women's rights. You know, she appears to have a desire for intergenerational collaboration. She has been very openly engaging with young people. So from the presidential race, she's enjoying a lot of support. But the reality of the matter is SWAPO is unlikely to do very well in the National Assembly, simply because, of course, there are two new parties that are now participating. That's the IPC and AR, which are also offshoots of SWAPO because their leaders used to be former SWAPO members. And they've taken with them also a chunk of SWAPO supporters, including new young voters. So for the National Assembly, we can anticipate that SWAPO is likely to lose its two-third majority. They all definitely have to enter into coalition talks with opposition parties.
Graham, talking about a coalition, do you see the opposition parties coming together to form a minority majority in parliament? And, you know, there was an instance where you had a coalition in Windhoek where the two parties that one party joined SWAPO, they kept on fighting each other. They couldn't get much done. What do you see happening in parliament?
Well, I think whatever happens, SWAPO will have the most seats. So they'll be calling the shots if there is a coalition possibility. And I think if they lose by the 50% by a few percentage points, maybe only down to 48 or 47%, they can probably fairly easily negotiate with a couple of smaller parties like NUDO or UDF to support them to get their legislation through parliament. If they drop below 45%, then they would have to deal with one of the bigger opposition parties like the IPC or the PDM, and that would be more problematic. If they go down to ANC levels of 40%, then they would have to look at a government of national unity. But I think we're more likely to see SWAPO either managing 50% or just dropping below and being able to negotiate an alliance or coalition with just a couple of smaller parties to support them.
Graham, there are suggestions that perhaps if these minor political parties were to form a coalition ahead of the election, presented a single presidential candidate, and perhaps aligned to each other to form and have competent people, popular people down ballot, perhaps they could give SWAPO a run for its money. Your thoughts? That never happened.
No, because of our proportional representation system, it actually encourages small parties. Some of them are ethnic-based or regionally based. So they may attract more support and more voters than if they were amalgamated into one party with one leader who perhaps they didn't recognize or they didn't respect because that person wasn't from their region or ethnic group. So in a way, it still works against SWAPO to have a lot of different parties, some of them very small, competing against them. And then there would be our discussions around coalitions really come after elections. Would there be a post-election coalition agreement? But it's actually in their interest to stay separate to some extent before the election so they can fight their own ground and hope that to win their regions or their particular areas of support.
Thank you very much. We have to leave it here. Thank you both for the thought-provoking discussion. We appreciate your time. Political analyst Raquel Andreas and Graham Hopwood, Executive Director of the Institute for Public Policy Research. Thanks to our affiliate stations for broadcasting Straight Talk Africa across the continent. We'll see you next week. Good evening, Africa.